Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers! Hey, Susie!
Hi, Barbara! Hello, groomers! Welcome to episode 226 of the Groom Pod, recorded on October 13, 2019 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Stasco, Show Season, Evolution Shears, and Barkley HQ. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to talk about one of the first mixes ever mixed up together on purpose, and that's the cockapoo. We're going to learn about telogen and exogen and Willis the Fired Scotty. I'd like to tell you right now, though, about Barkley HQ. Barkley HQ is a cloud-based software for your salon. It's got everything you could possibly need to run and manage your grooming business all in one spot on the cloud. It offers online booking and scheduling, client management with fully customizable records, including handling client communications and reminders. That is a big deal. You get detailed reports so you can track everything you need to make your business profitable, including using multiple locations, and it has super duper great customer support. If you'd like a free trial, you can get one by going to their website, BarkleyHQ, that's BarkleyHQ.com, or you can email them info@BarkleyHQ.com or call them the old-fashioned way with the telephone at 416-678-8171. Well, Barbara, it seems like forever since I've talked to you.
I know, I missed you so much.
I won the scavenger hunt.
Oh, no, you didn't.
It was 70 questions. 70.
Oh, 70?
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
It took us 3 days. I walked 78 miles in 3 days, mostly hunting down clues. But I met up with this great group of people who listened to the Universal Orlando podcast and spent 3 days with them enjoying Universal Orlando and everything about it and riding roller coasters. But here's the totally ironic thing that happens to me every time I go to ride a specific roller coaster. It was down. I went to ride Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure Coaster, the newest coaster at Universal Orlando, and they had a bee problem.
Bees, as in stinging bees?
Yep, and they had to get a bee guy to come in and remove the bees, so they closed the coaster. Then the next day, I was there for 5 days total, and I figured I would get on it at least once during the 5 days. But it was always closed in the morning, and they were always working on removing what they needed to remove. And then at like 3 p.m, it would open, but I had other things that I needed to be doing at that time with the group, and I didn't want to waste 2 or 3 hours waiting in line for that ride. So I didn't get to ride that ride, but I did get to ride Mako. Mako's this big airtime giant. It's a hyper coaster over 200 feet, and it lived up to every bit of its hype. It was amazing, and I rode Manta over and over and over again, and I rode Kraken over and over again. Kraken's getting a little rough. Manta was spectacular. I really got my Manta fill. So as I was leaving, though, as I was spending the last moments in the amusement park, I realized that I wasn't quite done. And so then I went over to Fun Spot Orlando, and it was me and 6 other people in the park. It was freaky.
That was like Twilight Zone.
It was a cross between the greatest day of my life and the scariest moment in any horror film ever. I enjoyed it. The ride operators walked from ride to ride with me, just firing up. I said, "Are you going to really fire up White Lightning?" And they said, "Sure." And they turned on the GCI coaster, and I rode it as many times as I wanted by myself in the last car. And then we walked over to Mindbender, and they started that up, and I rode that one. And then we rode the flat rides, and oh my gosh, they had 4 go-kart tracks. And since nobody else was there, he just gave me a go-kart and said, "Just come in when you're done." And I just kept going around and around and around. It was, I mean, it's weird though, with nobody to race, It's more fun when you have somebody to race on the go-kart tracks.
Yeah.
Oh, all I could do was work on my drifting. Drifting the corners, using the e-brake. Oh, it was so much fun. And each of those courses was different. So that was a one-of-a-kind experience that I'll probably never experience again in my life. But I'll tell you guys that live in Florida, I don't know how you do it. I was so hot and sticky and gross and disgusting. It took like 10, 15 minutes out the door and I would have sweat dripping down into my eyes. And then I would go into a ride and come out with my glasses all fogged up. It was a great time, though. We had so much fun. And I won the scavenger hunt. Well, not just me. There were six of us, but still, it was pretty amazing.
Your team won, huh?
Yes. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner. And what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out BestShotPet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's BestShotPet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. But this is a grooming podcast, so did anything happen to you grooming-wise while I was gone?
Well,
God. Or personal, you know, we do delve.
We do delve, don't we, though?
Yes.
I have a customer, speaking of delving, I have a customer that I always end up in these kind of TMI conversations.
Oh, yes.
She has a way of probing into my personal life that I end up spilling the beans to her, telling her some ugly truthfulness of physical and mental state.
Yes. You know?
And then she probes, and her husband was with her yesterday when they dropped the dogs off. And he was out there. I was at my grooming table with another dog on my table, and she was at my counter, and he was behind her. And he's making big time out signs as I'm talking about my constipation.
Oh, my God.
To this cuss, she just dug her way into it. You know, I ended up telling her what antidepressant medication I'm on, how I know to go back on it, and, you know, and my constipation problem. It was just, and when she left, I just said, son of a gun, that was a real TMI conversation from the get-go. How do I end up telling this woman that I barely know all these intensely personal things about myself just because she asks, you know?
Well, she asked, you know.
Well, started don't ask, don't tell policy.
Way back when I worked in the warehouse, I was accused of being an oversharer. So I'm sure that people know way more about me than they want to know. Although mostly not my bodily functions, but I guess that'll come as I get older.
Jesus, I know. Why is aging like you become so obsessed with your own bodily functions? That's because they don't function anymore.
Oh. Yep.
So anyway, moving right along. Hey, I got a big update for you.
Yes?
Remember Willis, the Scottish Terrier that I had to fire because he was so dreadfully dangerous on the table?
I do.
I have readmitted him. I've unfired him, however you want to put it. I'm grooming him again.
Wow.
And what changed is not them. I certainly didn't get an email from them that said, oh, we've taken Willis to train her, and it's so-and-so, and he's doing so well. No, that wasn't it. It was me. I reached out to Chrissy Neumeier-Smith.
I love her.
Yeah, and I, you know, what I did is I listened to a couple of her podcasts, and I looked at her Facebook group, and I decided that, well, first of all, I've been thinking about this a long time ago. When she surfaced as who she is, I said, you know, I need to connect with that woman and check her out. Now I'm in kind of a desperate state where I've got several of these. Well, you know what? Did I tell you about the second Scotty that came in that started acting in exactly the same way?
Nope.
Oh, well, that's interesting phenomenon. New Scotty came in, and I had a terrible time grooming him. It was his first professional grooming. In the middle of it all, I said, Yvonne, who does this dog remind you of? And she said, it's Willis. It's Willis. I said, yeah, he's acting the same way, hopping and jumping and snarling and snapping at the scissors and that kind of stuff. And I said, I need to get help for both of these Scotties, not to mention some of my other difficult dogs. You know, I've done some things in the last few months with treat training at the table.
Right.
And that was a tool, and I knew that Chrissy kind of went into that also. But I put a request to join her group out on her Facebook page, and blam, she got back to me and said, hey, I know who you are. I'm so happy to hear from you. I'm a big fan girl, blah, blah, blah. Oh, it just made me feel so good because I just kind of snuck in there, not anonymously. I used my name and everything, but I usually like to start out as an everyday person before I'm a persona, you know? You know, she spotted me, and she was excited to have heard from me. And God, that made me feel so good. We made each other feel so good. And I had an hour and a half conversation with her about this dog. And so I felt I had more tools in my box. I had another approach to try. And actually, her approach involved taking a little more time, but calming time versus struggling time.
Right.
And, oh, Lord, I'll take calming time any day. Because remember I told you that one time it took us like 15 minutes to get a muzzle on his face?
Yeah.
What kind of a match is that? I mean, I would much rather spend 15 minutes bringing him back to a neutral point, which is what I did a lot of during my grooming. And the other thing that I did, I groomed the dog from the bath on. I bathed him. I dried him. I didn't turn him over to my assistant. Yvonne didn't get to do him. She helped me in the long run. And I took a lot of video of me grooming him just for her to see and to critique me. And I really did do a better job. He didn't snap at me once. This was a dog that I fired 6 weeks ago because he was weaponizing during his struggle with me. And I was afraid we were going to get hurt.
Right.
And by doing this, just this one thing of stopping and regrouping and allowing him to regroup.
Taking a step back.
She drew an interesting analogy for me. She told a story of herself where she got this bad splinter in her right hand, and it was deep, and she couldn't get it out, and she tried digging at it and tweezing it and then a knife, and, you know, like, and she just couldn't work her left hand well enough to get that splinter out. So she had someone else work on it. They just approached it right on with a knife, and she said, no, wait, I'm not ready, I'm not ready. And then she took a couple of deep breaths, and then she was ready. And she let him pull her splinter out. And so she says, sometimes that's the kind of thing, if we look at the dog as that he's not ready for whatever step or whatever, like I'm not ready to have under my eyes done, rather than just push them from face to face to face. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And, that's a great way to go about it. You have to take the dog's reaction and opinion into account.
Yeah, an opinion. And I did that in all phases of the work. I gave the dog the benefit of the doubt. In the tub, I let him put his front paws over the tub and kind of hang on to the edge of the tub like that, instead of forcing him to stand four on the floor in the center of the tub. So I allowed him to do that. And I, when he freaked out about having the spray on his face, even when it was turned way down, so I just used the South Park foaming face wash, a lot of it in his beard. I mean, he's a Scotty. He's got a lot of face to clean. So I just cleaned it real good with that. And then I barely rinsed it because he started to struggle. I said, okay, I used the foaming face cleaner because you can leave it in if you have to. And his face came out fine. So he accepted it. He's holding on to the front of the tub and I'm squishing the foam through his beard. That was fine. He just didn't want that fucking sprayer thing, you know, in his face. So I said, okay, that's fine. We won't do that for you this time. You know, we might try to work back up to it in the future, but today I'm giving you all the benefits of the doubt.
Opportunities for success. I like to think of them as opportunities for success. And the dog can make choices in amongst the options that will make him set himself up for success. Like there was the all those short-nosed dogs, none of them want me to do their face right away. They want it like either in the bathtub or when it's done. But as long as I wait until they're ready to have their faces done, then everything seems to be going pretty well. So I love that about Chrissy, that she thinks outside the box. You guys, she has a podcast. It's called Creating Great Grooming Dogs. So make sure you give it a listen. So this is exciting. I love hearing this.
So we actually hit it off so well that I named it a project, that she and I are working on a project called Can You Teach an Old Groomer New Tricks? And I think it's going to be good for both of us. And of course, I'll continue to share my experience here on the Groom Pod, and she'll have material and an experience, because it is a good question. To what extent can I shift and change, not just that I'm 79 years old, but I've been grooming for nearly 50 years. And the good news is that I'm already grooming. I already consider myself a holistic and empathetic groomer. So I've been doing some of this, and I've been doing some treat work at the table. And she makes a clear distinction between treating for happy time and treating as a response for good behavior. Those are two very distinct things. You don't want to confuse them. She did a whole podcast on that, which I listened to. Anyway, she's great, and it's helping me. And I got through, I'll tell you a funny part of this is that, of course, the scariest part of this whole business was reconnecting with the family for whom I had dropped the bomb that I wasn't going to groom their Scotty until he had training.
How did you do that?
I did it by email. And first, I apologized, not for what I did, but for any hurt that might have caused them. You know, I acknowledged that it was a very difficult moment, and I told them that they were important to me. You know, our relationship is important to me. Oh, and I said, you're good parents and Willis is a good dog, but we just have some behavior that really needs to be addressed in order to successfully groom him. And then I said, the good news is that I have on my side contacted Chrissy Neumeier Smith, blah, 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 blah. And so I have some new things to try with Willis. And I would like to put him back in the mix. You know, like this all happened on Thursday, and their appointment was for Saturday. So I waited right until the last minute before I did it. Well, it was like, how am I going to step back in it with them? Well, I just did it very thoughtfully. I crafted my words. I didn't just plunge. I practiced what I preached. I really tried to speak to their experience of things. And I valued them. I spoke to how much I valued them and how I really just wanted to create some success for little Willis. They came back, and so now they were more open to talking about it. And here's what they said. Well, Barb, I think that the reason you're having trouble with Willis on the table is because he doesn't like to be crated.
Okay. I love people.
So in her mind, this was the daughter, and her adult daughter. In her mind, Willis hated being crated. So when I put him on the table, he was being mean to me. So, you know, like, in case you don't get it, folks, if the dog hates being crated and you put them on the table, they should be eternally grateful.
Indeed.
That you got them out of the cage and you put them on the table, and then they're happy to be on the table out of the cage. Of course, that wasn't Willis's problem at all, but I went along with it.
Of course.
I didn't acknowledge it. I suggested that they bring Willis in first and then bring the other two when I had him done, so that he would have a straight through grooming, you know, without having to wait for the other two dogs to get groomed before he was done and could go home. So I did. I spent an hour and a half on him, and then I had them bring the other two, and he went home. And it was a solid drama-packed hour and a half, I'll tell you.
Well, I always acknowledge my clients' eccentricities. I used to have to sing happy birthday to George Bush after every grooming and give him one of his own toys.
Oh, shit.
I did it. I did it every time. We stood together, we sang happy birthday to George, and then we got a toy out of his basket and gave it to him like it was his birthday.
Oh, that is funny.
Yeah.
That is funny. Anyway, it really did, even just as a starting point, the consultation with Chrissy really helped. And so there's going to be more on this, everybody. But I suggest that anybody that's having behavior on the table troubles and is open to shifting and changing some of your own behaviors, that you hook up with Chrissy Neumeyer Smith on her podcast or on her Facebook page, which then leads you to her podcast, and or seek a private consultation with her. She knows what she's doing. She loves dogs. She loves helping you get the job done safely. And I mean, she is in it to win it. She's deeply into the combination of behavior management and improving better grooming dogs and better groomers.
Where else are you going to get better advice on those two things but from someone who's actually qualified in both? That's the key. How often do we get that? Well, we have one person. That's Chrissy. Pretty cool.
Well, you know, I've tried for years. I've tried to hook up with local dog trainers. As soon as I say table, they don't want to do it. They want leash work. You know,
it's true.
So I would have to buy a table and everything, you know, like, well, yeah. So we've got Chrissy and we love her. And I'm so excited to have this journey with her. And it's called a journey. And I'm so excited to have a learning opportunity. And I'm so excited about maybe being able to groom two difficult Scotties. Because I have a reputation locally of being very patient, other pet owners and veterinarians refer these difficult dogs because as long as they're not aggressive killer dogs, I'll take on special handling and I'll treat them right. But now I think I'm going to have another set of tools, another kind of key to work with. So amen to this. This is so cool.
It is so cool. Speaking of like vets and doctors and all that kind of stuff, I seem to be getting a reputation myself, one that is conducive to working with professionals, because not only do I groom both of my vets, my avian vet, actually, my avian vet, my equine vet, and my dog and cat vet's animals. I groom my chiropractor's animals, and I groom my general practitioner's animals. So I got the phone call from my GP, who's new on the list, right? We did a barter thing for my annual exam. And he said, I know this is absolutely crazy and I don't expect you to do it, but is there any way you can get my dog done before Thursday? Because we have company coming in. And by the way, we lost the other dog. So they went from two dogs to one dog, which I feel horrible about because it's only been about a month. So somewhere in the month, they lost one of the two dogs. But I said, you know, I don't really have anything, but let me look around at somebody who I might be able to trade your appointment with. And so I did. I found him a spot. I said, this is your beloved dog groomer. And he goes, oh, you're not just kidding. You're the coolest ever. And he said, but I want to let you know that this in no way will affect our professional relationship. I'll still take as good a care of you as I would, you know, maybe even better because I know you personally. I said, oh, don't worry about that. He said, well, I cannot thank you enough for actually working me into the schedule. And I said, oh, don't worry about it. I would have done it for any of my clients. he thought he was getting a special deal. And he went, oh, well, I really appreciate your honesty. And I didn't think about it. And I guess I am a little blunt. Don't worry about it. I'd have done it for anybody. So that was cool. I worked him in, and his dogs are delightful. So I made sure to pre-book their next appointment. You know, I was going to leave it up to them to call me, but I'm putting them on the schedule. I think they're in for life now. So we have a new GroomPod Podster that has made a donation and signed up for Patreon, and that's Shayna McIver. Shayna, thank you so much.
Well, welcome to the group, Shayna.
Yeah.
Good to have you.
All right. Well, let's take a break and then come back and talk about the original poo mix. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the GroomPod when you place your order or put GroomPod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. I have recently added a cockapoo into my client base. I haven't seen one of those for a long time.
So I thought,
what a good opportunity it will be to talk a little bit about cockapoos. I remember my first cockapoo being my mother's best friend's dog. And his name was Gus, and he was just a standard-looking cocker with poodle-ish hair. He had a little odd-looking top knot. And he was a good guy. He was black. But that was like back in 1960s, and I guess that's kind of when they started to show up.
Oh, I think that is when they started to show up, but they were more dominant in the 70s and 80s, I'd say. They were big. They could vary a lot.
Sure do. The one that I've added is kind of a smaller version. It's a shrunk down version and a little more poodly than cockery, so it's kind of got more fine hair, but has heavy ears. And a delightful personality, a little squared off muzzle. And her name is Abby. Abby, another Abby. But did you know this? They say in the club books, because it's not an AKC breed or anything, they say they range in size from 6 pounds to 25 pounds. I think she's about 11 or 12 pounds. I've never seen a six-pound one.
I've never seen a six-pound cockapoo either.
Yeah,
I've
okay.
six-pound Maltipoos. Toy poodle Maltese mixes, but not that. I always loved cockapoos, and I developed a kind of a signature hairstyle that carried over to my doodle work.
Ooh, can we talk about it?
My automatic doodle style is just giantized cockapoo style. So, yeah, we could talk about it if you want.
Okay.
I'll tell you how I was trained. My apprenticeship was 1971 to 1974, 75, in thereabouts. And how I was trained to do cockapoos is in what my mentor called a daisy trim. And that was... Can you imagine what that might be?
I'm racking my brain. I can't think. Is it Daisy the dog or Daisy the flower?
Well, it was just the name. A daisy trim for him and for them, for me, was kind of a lamb trim all over and a flat on the top of the head, eyebrows, kind of a schnauzer face, kind of a schnauzer head. On a poodle body.
Okay. Yeah.
Teddy bear feet, you know, and the legs could be a little longer or shorter, and the body was usually about the same length. Could be an under chest or not. As soon as I was on my own, I never did the daisy trim again.
All right. Well, I won't do it either then.
Now, it was because of the schnauzer head.
Right.
I didn't really like that head on that body. I like a schnauzer head. And every now and then I'll come across a mixed breed where I want to do that head. But mostly I want a softer head. So I would do not a poodle head, but a leaving some on top of the head and the ears long and not perfectly edged at the bottom, natural longer ears. And a beard and little slight overhung bangs.
A little bit of a visor.
Yeah, a little bit of a visor and sometimes a little bit of separation of the visor.
Nope.
But definitely a full crown, slightly curly or shorter, whichever works. But something to balance out the beard. And the beard would be longer or shorter, depending on the personality of the dog, right?
I have a tendency to run a comb down the ears and make them all one length just a little bit so that they're a little lighter to kind of avoid the ear infection problem that some of these guys have. Yeah. The cockapoo that I've added, they're not too heavy. They're drop ears, but they're not thick like cocker ears. They're kind of a mix between cocker and poodle. She's a really poodly cockapoo. They do vary tremendously, don't they?
As do the doodles. I have one doodle that has a curlier coat than most poodles. I mean, she is tightly curled. It would be hard to totally straighten Simone's hair. And cockapoos were that way, too. The next thing that came in was the terry poo.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you really have a terrier, like a poodle schnauzer. Well, that was a schnoodle.
Right. Those came a little bit later, Schnoodles. Even.
Schnoodles had a wispier hair. One thing with the cockapoo was a pretty thick coat.
Yeah, they take forever to dry.
Like a cocker spaniel. But the Schnoodle was, I had a dog that I picked up off the middle of Grant Road, which is the 4-lane road in front of the shop.
Right.
And I called it because I was sure somebody, he was so darn cute that I was sure that somebody was going to claim him. And so I just called him Lost Dog. And I'll tell you, nobody claimed him until months later. I registered him with the Humane Society that I had found him. Months later, a girl called me on the phone and identified him as her dog. And I said, how did you lose him? And they said, we were taking him to our friend's house to make babies, and he jumped out of the car.
Oh, said, man.
Oh, man, you don't really want him back, do you? I love him so much. I was not going to give over that dog, you know, like, and besides that, guess what? I had him fixed.
Of course you did. Good job.
We were headed over to our friend's house to make babies. Well, there you go. That was the story of the cockapoo. And that was kind of their demise, because the difference between the cockapoo breeders and the doodle breeders, that cockapoo breeding, almost always informal backyard breeding, but doodle grooming is doodle breeding has amongst their different types of breeders, but some of them are darn right conscientious about breeding for a type and temperament. We've got a doodle breeder in Arizona. She lives up north, and she's doing miniature doodles that are just the greatest size. And now the miniature doodle looks a lot like the cockapoo of older age, except it's got a lighter coat. In fact, I groomed one yesterday, Sam the Doodle, we call him. And he's so nice. Anyway, I digress.
Yes.
What else is new? I digress. parentheses in the middle of my name. Barbara.
I digress.
But no, I want to completely make the point that there are doodle breeders that are really breeding for consistent temperament and type, and wish to establish the breed as a breed. That's how new breeds have always originated historically. But things never got that serious with the cockapoo breeding.
And
it's just kind of varied all over the place. And then it just kind of faded out, probably because the cocker thick coat is a bitch.
Indeed. Yeah. Okay, well, cool. I'm excited to try a little variation on my cockapoo haircut. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to shorten up those ears, kind of frame the face a little bit. I think I'll leave a little more on top of the head than I normally would, like you were saying. And then I think I might try to blend in the legs a little bit fuller instead of going the one length all over, because I think this dog has some funny legs under there. But we shall see the next time I go and visit Abby.
I have an idea for you real quick, go off the
subject. Okay, yes.
Why don't we involve the Facebook discussion group and ask to see photos of your cockapoos?
Great idea.
Yeah, let's get the people involved in this, and we'll share and compare cockapoo grooming pictures.
I like it. That will help me a lot. And if anybody's got any Asian influence cockapoo grooming, I'd love to see that, because I would like to try to go that direction. Break time. Let's hear from show season. Then we're going to come back with our back to school segment, which is telogen and exogen. And I think you're going to tell us what that is, because it's a mystery to me. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
You put up some very interesting words for our definition du jour, telogen and exogen. Can you extrapolate on what those are?
Yes, indeed. Thank you for your question. I will tell you that telogen and exogen are phases in the hair growth cycle.
Oh.
The hair growth cycle consists of anagen, which is the growth phase, catagen, which is a intermediate phase, and telogen, which is the resting phase. Phase four is exogen, which is the actual shedding phase. And some scientists have added a fifth stage, which is chemogen, which is the empty follicle phase.
Is this just any hair, like human, dog, whatever?
No, this is like dog hair.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that human hair does shed.
Not quite the same.
One of the big differences between human hair and canine hair is that human hair and poodle hair, they will say human and poodle hair. They always put poodle hair with the human hair because they have extended anagen or growth phase. Whereas Nordic breeds, for example, have extended telogen phase. And undercoat, let's just talk about undercoat because I want to relate this to shedding. Undercoat also goes through a growth, a changeover, a catagen, and then a telogen phase, and then sheds out. The telogen phase is what mostly interests us as groomers regarding de-shedding and double-coated breeds. And what we need to recognize is that we've been taught these, like we used to be taught just the first three phases, anagen, catagen, telogen. And it's like they were such distinct things. But what happens is that the hair follicle kind of moves slowly through all of these phases. So there's even a beginning, middle, end. There's a beginning antigen and an ending antigen, you know, and then, so there's phases within the phases. Do you hear what I'm saying?
I totally get it.
The stages or phases are not static. It's not like either or. So as they move through one phase, they approach the next phase.
So there's a little overlap?
There's a little overlap.
Okay.
Yeah, time-wise, there's a little overlap. And when it comes to telogen phase and shedding, the hair follicle in the telogen phase moves closer towards the surface of the skin. When the signals arrive for a new hair to grow, the follicle goes deep into the skin where it attaches to the blood supply, right? As it goes through the phases, it rises up closer to the surface of the skin. In the beginning of the telogen or resting phase, it's still strongly attached to the tissue of the follicle. The follicle and the hair shaft are actually all attached. There's no like space in between the hair follicle and the hair shaft. The hair, it's like knitted together.
It's part of the skin.
Yeah, and the hair shaft is kind of knitted to the follicle at its edges. Well, as we get further and further into telogen phase, moving towards shedding, the whole hair follicle continues to raise up. A bulb is formed at the end where originally we had the dermal papillae that were attached to blood vessels. Now there's just like a little plug on the end, which you can see if you pull a hair out, and you can kind of see it at that end.
I've seen it.
I'm looking at nothing. I'm holding my hand up here so I can see something. Yeah, I love the way I present. No wonder people come to my seminars. They just want to watch me, my antics. So anyway, as the hair approaches the shedding phase, the attachment to the surrounding skin becomes weaker and weaker. And it's holding on by a wisp, so to speak. It's just like barely hanging in there. And then we use a de-shedding product and we want to get rid of the hair. What are we going to get rid of? We get rid of anything in there that's actually already released from the hair follicle, separated from the hair follicle. You know, we call that dead hair, even though in our minds we know that all hair is dead.
Right.
But it's actually loose hair. You could call it finished hair. It's out of the follicle.
Disconnected.
Disconnected. Thank you. That's a good phrase. And de-shedding with a product or products that soften the skin, they help to release another whole bunch of hair that's barely attached. So those are the hairs that we release when we de-shed the dog. We're not really making it shed more or making it shed less. We're just getting loose hair or that extra hair that we get when we use the products that loosen the hair. All they're doing is separating hairs that are hanging practically by just static alone.
So by that theory, then, that kind of explains why after we're done with a de-shedding process or the dog's been groomed and we send it home, why it continues to release those just barely still attached hairs. Because the products we use actually make that happen. Products and process.
Because we actually are kind of forcing it. Products are not going to take anything out that's deeply embedded. It's just like you can't really hand strip coat that isn't going to come out. You know, like I couldn't take my Bichon's coat and just like strip it like I could a wire fox terrier. It isn't going to happen. You know, because it's too deeply embedded, the hair is firm in there. So the follicle releases the grip of the hair as it gets ready to shed it. And there's always some that have been partially released and they're just like holding on by Thaddeus Kling or Van der Waals forces, which I'll talk to you about on another day. But I just want to open our minds a little bit to realize that growth phases of the hair are not just distinct entities. It's a whole process that is always in continuum. And even if it rests, hair can rest for 6 or 7 years, which is what they think the primary coat of the Nordic breeds does. And that's why those breeds, when you clip that hair, it takes so much longer for the primary hairs to come in. And sometimes it seems as though the primary hair follicles kind of close or don't regenerate a new hair, and you have this terrible regrowth. But if you leave it alone for 2 years, you might get a coat back. We could go on, but I don't want to talk about alopecia and all of that in this thing. I just want you to understand shedding a little bit better. There's just like nothing we can really do to make the dog stop shedding. Someone asked, does results rinse stop the shedding? Because I have said, and I will say again, that an acidifier, which is results rinse, it will firm up the skin, tone the skin in such a way that the pores close and tighten up. And so those excess hairs that are hanging on by a thread are held on to. Do you understand?
Yes.
Yeah. So that helps to sort of make it seem like there's no shedding going on right now. It's a temporary tightening.
Yeah. And then there's the question of the cyclic shedding that happens with some of the breeds, that in the spring and the fall, they eject hair. And then in other times, all of the coat goes into the dormancy phase or something like that. Fascinating thing, yeah. Is science.
I love hair science. I wish I could go back and change my major.
I get it.
If I knew yesterday what I know today, I might have taken more science-y. I was just a social science person. I took psychology. I took social psychology. I took anthropological psychology.
Yeah.
I took philosophy. I did take chemistry, but I hated it because of the math. Right now, I would like to be a hair scientist or a cosmetic chemist.
Either or would be perfect for you. Talking about the future of the show, I am going to be putting together a survey to ask our listeners kind of for some focus and some input and direction of the show. That'll be coming up in the next month. It's going to take me a little while to assemble those questions. Barbara and I are going to have to get together and come up with some good questions that will point us in the direction that you guys as listeners want us to go. But of course, this is our show and we're going to go the way we want to no matter what.
Anyway,
but we do want your input.
We want to make sure that everybody's still on board.
Yes. Now that we're 4 years in, I thought it would be a good idea to just take a little inventory of what you guys think we should be talking about, what you enjoy most, what you like least, all of it. We're open to it all. And secondly, to replace that Amazon stream, I'm kind of chewing on letting a few of you Patreon subscribers watch us record every week. Not that that isn't just a thrilling prospect, which it is, but just another way we can give a little bit more. We'll have like a specific price that you'll have to be above to get in to see us every week, but we're willing to like brush our hair and look somewhat decent every week now that we've been doing this for a while.
Oh, brush our hair. Wait a minute. Is that in my contract?
Okay, you don't have to brush your hair. I brush my hair anyway, at least once a day, if I need it or not. Anyway, we'll invite you guys in for a little fee, and that way you can help support the show.
Mine.
Huh? You say fuck yours?
I talked over you. I just fluff mine.
Oh, fluff it.
I'm sorry.
I get it. Anyway, I think that we're starting to get a little rummy. We should probably end this episode for now. Although it's been a great one. I missed you so much. I'm glad you guys could all share a few of my pictures that I put up on the Groom Pod Facebook discussion group. Facebook.com/group/the Groom Pod.
You can't leave us.
Yes.
You can't leave us.
No, I can't. I got to keep you on my trip.
I know.
All right, guys. Thank you for being here with us. Thanks for listening. Thank you for subscribing to the show and all of the great reviews you've sent us, and for the Patreon guys and for the donations and all of it. And Barbara, for you being here. Happy grooming, everybody. We'll see you next week.
All right. Take care of yourselves.
Bye.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening, and see you real soon.